Welcome everyone to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today we have something very special in store, and this kind of all ties back to current events going on in my life, and I'm sure others. And we were actually in a channeling session for our Patreon community, which you can find on our Patreon. And we were talking to our resignated relationship entity. Her name is Shakti. And she said something really, really interesting in the channel that I want to share. She was talking about cording and their energetic cords that can form between individuals. And these cords don't have to always be romantic, just to make it clear. But in today's discussion, we're going to talk about him in kind of a romantic sense, where she was saying that when energetic cords form, they form to specific chakras where there needs to be specific lessons learned between the two of you. And I gotta tell you, this shit blew my mind. And when I actually had the time to sit back and introspect on it and reflect on it, I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Because typically when we meet people, we have a soul contract with them. And even more ironically, there's a very high probability that you and that person know each other from a past life. So if that's the case, then of course there's going to be maybe karma there or some type of lesson that needs to be learned or some type of, not even beyond lesson or karma, it's just forming a new connection, meaning that there will be something forming there, whether it's in aligned with karma, lessons, or energetic cords.
You know, this is an interesting topic because, like, I knew cords were a thing, and I knew that we sort of had these cords and connections in different ways to different people. I guess I never really considered the impact and how that can affect you. So when I was exploring a little bit around the cording that I carry, particularly to my twin soul, I learned that it's often the case with twin souls that they have cords or connections to each of the chakras, but every single chakra ends up being connected, which kind of makes sense given that, you know, technically he and I refer to ourselves as the same person, just in different bodies. So the concept of cording is so interesting because if you look at how to navigate it and how to deal with it, like you'll see things like, oh, you can cut these cords and there's this ritual you can use to disconnect this connection from this person and then you can clear yourself and move on. And I'm just like, is it really that easy? Like, I've never been convinced that it was ever that easy to do, even though I've tried doing it. Like, I've tried cutting cords to him and people multiple times. So it kind of makes sense that there's so much more to it than what we're seeing out, you know, on the internet, which is rife with misinformation and disinformation. So I'm really glad we're having this conversation.
Yeah, it's actually really crazy that you can be corded at all seven chakras.
Right. Right. I mean, and ultimately, like, I don't fully know the implications of that. Again, like, when I discovered that that was a thing that could happen, I was just like, well, you know, for him and I, it makes sense. But what exactly does that mean? Like, I know I spent the better part of a decade dreaming about him in different ways. And I know that he can sense my emotions. And sometimes I can sense, like, what he's thinking. And so I know that that all plays a role with the courting. But, you know, outside of that, like, I don't quite fully understand the additional implications outside of oh my gosh, we have all these lessons we need to learn. So courting has always just been a very interesting topic and, you know, something that has kind of fascinated me in different ways.
I find courting totally fascinating. We recently learned this, like only a few months ago. And like I was saying, when I actually took the time to reflect, a lot of it started making sense to me. Now, I agree with Tiara. I don't know what every implication comes with courting, but I do understand enough that in order to make the cords go away, both parties need to extract the lesson. And it makes it really confusing because it's like, okay, well, what if the other person doesn't want to learn the lesson? Or what if the other person doesn't properly heal? Then what, you're just courted to this person forever? And then what if they don't learn it in this lifetime? That means we're courted in the next lifetime. Like, there's all these fascinating questions that I actually have around courting. But based on what I know and based on what we just learned, I'm kind of going through that right now with a connection of mine, and particularly where, so let me back up first and just say that, yes, I have had relationships before, but I would say that this person is someone that I've met while my spiritual gifts have really been kicked into high gear. And so navigating this relationship for me is a little bit different, obviously, because now I have my spiritual gifts I can use to help navigate it. And I don't know if it's actually really helping me or driving me more crazy. And I don't know if anyone else who has spiritual gifts who feel really connected to another person and the other person is either, you know, just spiritually awakening or they're not awakened at all. I'm just curious, how do you guys navigate these types of situations? Because I'm finding it's just a different experience. It's not good or bad. It's just different. And I can't make my spiritual gifts go away. So it's kind of like I need to figure out how to navigate it moving forward. Because, I mean, there's going to be other people in my life. So it's not just, it's going to, basically what I'm saying is it's going to be a first time regardless. And this person just so happens to be the first time. But what I do find really interesting about it is because I have the ability to see auras and because I do have the ability to channel, I can get information from my guides or whoever I really need to get information from. I have that ability to get information. And I found out that like we are corded at like 5 chakras. And I was just like, okay, what does all of this mean? And according to my spirit team, they were just like, you guys have specific lessons you guys need to learn around these chakras. So if you guys are having questions about energy cords, and now that you know that they are corded around your chakras, and if you don't really know what the chakras are, and if you want to learn more, I highly recommend that you guys learn what the chakras are. Tiara and I do have an episode talking about the chakras. I'm not going to go in depth in this episode, but I do want to recap them. And so basically the 7 main chakras, and yes, there are more than 7, but that's a whole different podcast episode. But the 7 main chakras are the root at the base of your spine. There's the sacral right below your belly button, which is like feminine energy. Then we have the solar plexus, which is masculine energy. Then we have the heart chakra, the throat chakra, the third eye, and then the crown. And each chakra is significant to every single person. And the chakras are wild because the chakras can be too open, too close, which I didn't know was a thing, or really like the main goal is to have the chakras be balanced. But obviously, that is very difficult for most people. I would say that the chakras are probably either closed or way too open. basically out of balance. And each chakra is actually very significant. And so when you actually learn about what each chakra is, its main purpose, and then you think about, okay, why would cords be corded to that chakra? It becomes a massive rabbit hole, like beyond a massive rabbit hole. And it's really, really wild.
It is. And I remember, I think it was last year, I had my chakras evaluated. Now, the way it was done is I inquired with some individuals who have the ability to see auras and chakras, and they just sort of sent me a report of like the status of each chakra and the karma remaining in each of them. Now, as far as how accurate this thing is, I have no idea. But I did think it was very fascinating and very interesting. And one of the things that kind of blew my mind the most was apparently when it comes to your solar plexus and your sacral chakra, those are like feminine and masculine energy balance. So if one is off, then the other one kind of shifts in some ways to compensate. And so they reported that I had that going on, and that for the most part, all my chakras still had like a specific percentage of karma remaining in them that I needed to work through. And it was very, very fascinating. And they even gave things like the color of the chakra and which way the energy was spinning. And like, it was a very interesting report. I had never had anything like it. But it did give a little bit of a sense of some of the things that I needed to work through within specific chakras. So for example, when it comes to like the heart chakra and the throat chakra, which is where I think I had some things that needed to be worked on. For me, I know that my focus needed to be on like listening more, speaking more authentically and expressively, and, you know, not just listening, but hearing. Because for me, for a very, very long time, I kind of struggled where people would tell me something and I would hear something different, which is a throat chakra. As crazy as that sounds, that could potentially be a throat chakra issue. So that kind of stuff. And it was very, very eye-opening and very insightful. And it was kind of like the first time that I really dug into the chakras, the impact of the chakras, and how it can affect things like your mood, your emotions, and even your aura.
I actually had that same report done, and I totally forgot about that report. Tiara's right. It is so fascinating.
Oh, yeah. I went into like a total chakra rabbit hole after that.
No, I think that's fantastic. I loved my report. Now, again, I also don't know how accurate this thing is. I mean, but it was really, really interesting. And I have actually even checked on it with my guides, and they were like, no, like most of it's really accurate. There are a few things here and there that we would disagree with, but for the most part, it was fairly accurate. And I was really surprised. But in order to really understand energetic cords when it comes to relationships or the other person, you are going to have some type of knowledge around the chakras, which is why we kind of transitioned into this whole chakra segment of this episode, because it really is significant. Because, you know, if you find out you're corded at the heart chakra, well, you kind of have to know the purpose of the heart chakra to figure out, okay, well, why are we corded there, for example.
Now, have you gotten any insights into that with the circumstance you're currently dealing with, as far as like why those specific chakras are corded?
The only thing that I know is that we have history there. We have history there, and we have to learn a lesson. So I am fairly confident that I have met this person before in my past life. Hmm. I know that we definitely have a soul contract between us, and in regards to what is in that soul contract, I'm not going to share that, so please don't ask. But we do have a soul contract, and I understand why we met, because I am of the belief that nothing is coincidence. I used to think Wow, what a coincidence. Wow, what a coincidence. Nope, I don't think that anymore. I am a true believer in everything happens for a reason. Everyone we meet, there's a reason behind it. And as annoying or as frustrating as it can be sometimes, I also think of it as being extremely grateful, because basically my whole thing is, like, what I know about reincarnation at this point is that if you don't clear it and if you don't resolve it and if you don't learn the lesson, then guess what? There is most likely you're just going to reincarnate and meet that person again until you do. So as uncomfortable as situations might be, as annoying or as frustrating as situations might be, I also take every situation with, like, a new lens. I have a new lens and a new perspective around it, where I'm grateful that I have this opportunity to do what needs to be done or clear what needs to be cleared or help whoever I need to help in that moment. Because if I don't seize the opportunity now, I'm going to have to deal with it later, guys.
So my question is, okay, so we know that the cording happens at the chakras and that it's tied to specific lessons. I'm just curious to know, you know, an example of a specific lesson tied to a specific chakra and how that might play out. So, I mean, it's a little complicated for me because I have these cordings to my twin soul, but we're not in contact and we don't engage. So I'm not quite sure how we would ever navigate through any of those things, or if that's even possible. But for those who are corded at, say, I don't know, the solar plexus chakra, I'm just curious to know what a lesson with another person tied to that specific chakra might look like.
I mean, I can't answer that because I don't know what lessons those people need to learn.
Well, we know that the solar plexus chakra is tied to self-worth, personal power, strength, courage, confidence. So I'm wondering if, this is just me speculating, if someone's corded to someone in that area, if it's the type of thing where they're both working through confidence issues, or maybe they're both working through self-worth issues, but in different ways. Like, I'm just kind of curious to know what it might look like, and like when it comes to the cording and what needs to be learned.
Again, I can't answer that because every individual has their own individual journey and their own individual things that they have to work through. But I mean, I would think that if two people, this is just me being speculative,
yeah,
but I would think that if two people were corded at the solar plexus, and say you have self-worth issues, but say that you guys were in a relationship and, you know, I don't know what happened in that relationship, but say one of you had a lot of self-confidence and one of you had a lot of self-esteem issues. And if you recorded, you know, I would think that you would have to learn the lesson on why that cord is there. Mm-hmm. And around, like, for me, for example, again, this is speculative. This does not apply to me in my current situation, but I would just say that if I was with someone who destroyed my self-esteem, let's just say I was self-confident when I met them, but that relationship destroyed my self-esteem, you would think that a cord would form there. And then I would have to learn lessons on what happened to destroy my self-confidence. Like, what happened in that relationship for me to go from this very confident person to this very low self-esteem? And where did it go? Why did it happen? And how do I get it back?
Okay, so I'm thinking back then. That's actually helpful because it makes me think back to my last long-term relationship, which was a marriage. And I don't know where we recorded, but I could see a cord potentially being at the solar plexus chakra, because I did have substantial self-worth issues and he did too, but we did in different ways. And so I'm wondering if when it came to that specific relationship, if part of the things we were navigating through as a couple was those specific self-worth issues. Because the thing with some of these like trauma bond connections is you almost like attract the person or a person who has similar wounding or like hurt that kind of complements your own wounding. And so like, I know that I was very driven, very ambitious, but a lot of that, like in that sense of confidence that I had, particularly when it came to like career and success, was a cover for very low self-worth, because I valued my worth based on external achievements. And, you know, in that connection, like when it came to external achievements, for the most part, he was very supportive. It was just when I started shifting into trying to find other ways to obtain that sense of worth and value that things started to get questionable in the connection. On his end, I know that he struggled with self-worth in a different way. Like, I mean, I feel like we all have self-worth issues in different ways. But for him, I think that it was very much like about presenting forth a specific image or persona that other people would find acceptable versus, you know, letting other people see that hurt individual that he potentially was. Just as an example. So it's just so interesting how some of these chords can manifest as specific lessons in different ways depending on the wounds that you guys are carrying.
And that makes a lot of sense, because I love how you mentioned trauma bonding, because I think trauma bonding, I would say that over 90% of relationships today are trauma bonds. And I would say that that makes navigating a relationship even that much harder. Because when we trauma bond with someone, we're bonding with a person that has similar wounding, or someone that at least understands you. And when we have trauma and when we feel so misunderstood, all we want, what those misunderstood people want, is to feel understood, to feel comforted, to feel like we have purpose, that someone actually understands us. Because when we feel like someone understands us, we don't feel so alone. And when we don't feel so alone, that's when we kind of get attached into these trauma bonds that are not particularly healthy, but we latch onto them because it's like we find people so few and far between who actually feel like we are understood, like someone gets me. And so if you actually think, if the relationship is a trauma bond, then it actually makes sense that all these cords are going to be connected at the chakras where we need to learn similar lessons.
So I would say that when it comes to, I mean, all of that makes total sense. But I really strongly get the impression when it comes to a lot of these trauma bonded connections that people just sort of gravitate to another person who might not necessarily be for their best and highest, but there's like this gravitational pull that you feel to this person. And if there's this instant connection and chemistry and attraction, which is obviously there for a reason, I really get the impression that a lot of people in these trauma bonded connections are also seeking validation. Like they're seeking validation for something that's, they're seeking validation in a relationship for something that ultimately they should be working on themselves about anyway. But as we know, for whatever reason, when it comes to humans, we seem to just learn best in the context of a romantic relationship. Romantic relationships just have this ability to mirror and show us to ourselves in ways that we might not get elsewhere. And I think that for that reason, courting is so important and it's so significant because those lessons are so incredibly transformative. Now, I'm convinced that dreams are an indication of courting because, you know, I mentioned my twin soul and how we have seven cords. We were absolutely and are absolutely connected at the third eye and at the crown chakra. So like the dreams that I would have were just, they were not always, but many times they were so vivid and they felt so real. And to this day, I don't think I've ever had any dream as vivid with anyone else as I have with my twin soul. And I've had a couple different types of dreams when it comes to him. I've had dreams where, like, we were just interacting. I would just see him, you know, we would talk. I've had dreams that felt like premonition sometimes, or maybe he was giving me a message or trying to tell me something. I've had dreams where I would just be in the dream and I couldn't see him, but I could feel him. And, like, I just had, like, the sense that he was there. And it wasn't like there was a message or anything. It was almost just like this sense of, hey, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. Like that's almost what it felt like. And then I've had dreams that were just incredibly vivid. They had a meaning to them. They meant something. There was a message behind them. And I remember specifically a dream that I had that he was driving us somewhere. And for whatever reason, a lot of the dreams that I've had with him have been in a desert. I don't know why, but I think ultimately it's indicative of just the journey itself and how difficult it is and how we've sort of got to this place where we disconnected from ourselves and disconnected from each other in a way that it created like this void, like not that the love wasn't there, but that we weren't showing it and using that and embodying that the way we should have. So instead of, say, for example, an oasis, which might be more indicative of love being present there in some way, you know, water is a very love-based energy. We saw desert, which is like dry and dead and empty. I know that sounds kind of morbid, but like there's symbology behind a lot of these things when it comes to your dreams. So we were in a desert and I remember he was driving me somewhere. And I just remember being like, why is he driving? Like, I know he doesn't have the best vision. I don't know where we're going or why, but why is he the driver? And it almost felt like it was saying, you need to let me be the masculine. Like you need to let me take a little bit of the charge here when it comes to the direction of this connection. And I admit, me being the mental body, that I was excessively masculine, like so incredibly masculine, like especially in my waking life when it came to work and pursuits and career and achieving and attaining and sustaining and making choices and decisions. Like you almost have to get into that masculine place or that masculine space. So I got the sense that that's kind of what the message was. And it was so, so vivid and so clear. At the time, it wasn't clear because I was just like, what is this about? But as I reflected on it, I was just like, huh, this makes so much sense. And I think it was the next day that we actually reconnected after being separated for 11 years.
You know, that's so fascinating because I think me and this person are also courted at the third eye. And ironically enough, because I am in contact with this person and because I have ample spiritual gifts, I ended up messaging this person and I was like, hey, by chance, have you been dreaming about me lately? And he responded to me and he was like, yeah, why? And I was just like, because I haven't dreamt about this person specifically, but I have received like messages in my dream. And when I say messages in my dream, it just kind of came through as like one of them came through as a text message on my phone that was actually really relevant to our situation, which was really wild. And then the other one was a channeled message in my dream. And I still remember the channeled message to this day. And this person was all like, oh no, I like had full on dreams about you. But ironically enough, it was like the same nights. And my freaking mind was blown because I have always had this theory, right? There's all these theories about if you're in no contact with someone, or if you even are in contact with them, but most likely more interesting so if you're in no contact with them.
Yes.
There's all these theories saying, have you ever just been going about your day and all of a sudden this person pops into your head and you're just like, whoa, where did that come from? Why am I thinking about this person? Well, the theory goes is that that person is also thinking about you. And so I was just like, I wonder if this applies to dreams. Now, I haven't had we are in contact, but we're not in contact very often. And so I just sent him a message and I was just like, hey, I have a question I got to ask you. By chance, have you been dreaming about me recently? And they responded and they were just like, that's crazy. Yes, I have. And I was like, that's also crazy because I have had bits and pieces and messages about you in my dreams too. And this isn't the first time that this has happened to me. So like I have another friend and we just so happen to be soul family. But at the time I didn't know that we were soul family. So this actually makes a lot of sense now, but back then it didn't, where we would just dream about each other and we would dream about each other the exact same night. And I was just like, why does this keep happening? Like, what is going on? And I think that the energetic cords play a really big role in all of this. And that's why I'm saying, like, when I learned about the energetic cords and then being corded to certain chakras, I was just like, I think I have a lot of cords with some of these masculines in my life at the third eye, which is why we are connected in the dreamland. And I think it's wild.
That is so wild. And it makes me think like those, what was it, like 8 to 10? I actually think it was 8 years. The 8 years of dreams that I had about my twin soul, I just wonder how many of those dreams was he also having at the same time. Like I still to this day don't know because, you know, we're not connected. But it just makes me wonder if he was also dreaming on his end, although it seems like when that happens that they might not necessarily dream the same thing. Like you guys might both be dreaming, but it might not be the same type of dream is what it sounds like.
Right. I can't say that we have been aligned in the same dreams. Now, I have had one instance where we dreamed the exact same thing with someone.
Really?
The exact same thing, thinking like, so were we just, because if you're into spirituality, everyone says that the soul ends up leaving the body every single night while you're sleeping. That's a theory about that we have these outer body experiences and we can navigate the dream world or the real, quote unquote, real reality, because the human body is just a vessel to help you exist on Earth. And so they say, like, when we're sleeping, that the soul leaves the body and either astral travels or quantum jumps or quantum travel or dream walks into other people's dreams. And I am of the belief that two souls can meet in the astral. And if by chance the human body vessel can have that dream, and if it's vivid and if it's lucid dreaming and it feels so real, I have questions on whether or not that is. And if the other person's having the exact same dream as you, is if you actually met that person's soul in the astral and you were both fortunate enough to lucid dream it, And I think the dream space is totally fascinating. And I love, I have a love-hate relationship with dreaming, because when I lucid dream, at least, I'm exhausted the next day because I feel like I got no real rest. I feel like I was just awake in my dream state all day. And so that's the only reason why I don't particularly love lucid dreaming, because I just don't feel well rested the next day. But I would take the not feeling well rested over what we can do in the dream space, because I find it so fascinating.
It is so fascinating. And it makes me think of, because I've had these dreams where they feel super, super vivid. Now, I'm not a lucid dreamer. Like, I'm barely a dreamer. Like, I rarely dream. So when I do dream, on those rare occasions, there have been a couple that felt so incredibly vivid and lucid. And I don't know why, but a lot of times they're either sensual or sexual, or there's kissing or touching. And I can feel it. Like, I can feel all of it. And I've just wondered a couple of times, like, was this something else? Like, you know, just like in the back of my mind, just kind of having that thought, but not being sure and not knowing either way, where I could see potentially it being like some type of travel or dual connection in the astral space or something like that. So, man, that's just so mind-blowing that that is something that could potentially be happening.
Oh, absolutely. Like, my mind was blown when I had messaged this person, and I was just like, hey, like, because I've never dreamt about this person before. I mean, like, let's just make that clear. And then all of a sudden, like, over a weekend or over a course of like 3 days, I'm having dreams about this person, and I'm just like, huh, I wonder if they were having dreams about me. And I was fortunate enough to be able to be in contact with this person to validate my suspicion. And to receive confirmation, I was just like, huh, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that information yet. But yeah, my mind's blown.
That's wild. So wild.
So I think there's a lot of really interesting things when it comes to these connections that you make with these people and the cords and how it affects us. And, you know, I definitely think that the whole, hey, you're just going about your day and all of a sudden this person just pops into your head, and, you know, how they say that happens because that person is thinking about you. I would think that that cord, you would be corded at the crown.
Yeah, I was thinking third eye or crown.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So then let's take it to the heart chakra, because I wonder if people who are corded here are meant to learn a lesson specifically around unconditional love or true love. So I don't know, when it came to my last long-term relationship, if we had a heart chakra connection. Like, I know that there was love there. It's just, for whatever reason, like, when it comes to these romantic connections, these intimate connections, the love always feels different. Like, it's never the same. And so I wonder if that's because sometimes you are corded to the heart chakra and sometimes you're not corded to the heart chakra. Like, I'm not sure. But I do know that when it comes to that heart chakra connection I have with my twin soul, that it just feels so incredibly different. Like, it's more intense and it's beautiful and it's transformative in ways that are not transformative in other connections I've had. Like, the transformative component of the love with my twin soul is so incredibly unique. And so I just wonder sometimes, like, if people have that heart chakra connection, if it's tied to needing to learn a specific lesson around that deeper introspective love.
That's interesting. I would say that there's probably also lessons around heartbreak too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I could see that too. Or like disappointments.
Right, right. I mean, it's not, guys, again, spirituality is not all about love and light.
It is not.
So, no, I would definitely say that there's shadowy aspects of the chakras too that definitely need to be highlighted here, because we do have a shadow aspect, and the chakras even have a shadowy aspect. Like a lot, like for example, moving away from cords here for a second, at the root chakra, that's where we have a lot of fear and we carry a lot of scarcity mindset. And when the root chakra is unbalanced or too open or closed, then we let that fear and we let the ego kind of take control of our everyday lives, our daily decisions, everything that affects us. And that's why it's the root. If we can't get past the root, it's going to be really, really hard to use your upper chakras.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I think that energy moves up the chakras, right? So if you're stuck in fear and lack, I don't know that the energy goes up past the root chakra.
Well, it can, it can, but you have to understand that like the majority of the population operates from the lower three, if not the lower two chakras. I mean, the only reason why you would be able to access the other two chakras, the sacral and the solar plexus, is because it is the masculine and feminine energy. And so the sacral, for example, is, because we talked about the solar plexus being about personal empowerment and your confidence and, you know, that masculine energy. But the sacral is that feminine energy where it is really tied to like our creativity and, you know, the emotions and those feelings of the, in of basically feminist energy. But I'm just saying, if it's out of balance, if your sacral is out of balance, then yeah, you are going to have a lot of creative blocks, and you are going to really struggle with emotional intelligence, and you're going to struggle with your intuition. And so those are some of the, if your sacral is blocked, then yeah, you're not going to be in tune with your intuition. And we need our intuition. Our intuition is so intricate and so important to our everyday lives. And so if it's not opened and balanced and used properly, I mean, if your bottom three chakras are blocked, to just put it frank, a hot mess, then you're going to have a really hard time functioning in today's world.
Yeah. And I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people that operate from the lower three chakras are stuck in states of not just fear and stagnation, but like, I think you see a lot of like the depression and the disempowerment and the uncertainty, especially today, since, you know, our world is technically on fire. So when you're stuck in those three chakras, like, you're gonna have a bad time, unfortunately.
Right. So navigating the chakras as an individual is difficult enough. So now imagine navigating chakras with energetic cords tied to another individual.
So I want to clear up this whole thing about being able to sever cords, because for whatever reason, this belief, especially in New Age, is rife that you can just simply imagine some scissors cutting all your cords to all these individuals, and then everything will be fine and dandy. We're learning that that is not the case at all. And I know it's not for me, because I've tried multiple times to sever my cords to my twin soul, and it's just never been possible.
You know, and I've talked to other people who have tried to sever their cords, and they're like, yeah, I do the I do the visualization, and I see the cord, and I imagine the scissors, and I see it cutting, and I'm like, great, it's done. And nope, it definitely comes back. Like people, I have met multiple people who have tried this method of cutting the cords, and almost all of them have said, no, I can guarantee you somehow the cord came back. And I'm just like, yeah.
Right.
Because I don't think it's as simple as just visualizing and cutting the cord. Because if the cord gets formed for a specific lesson, I don't think it's as easy as just like snipping it and being like, okay, done. I don't have to learn the lesson now. Because that's not how the universe works.
Right. Right. It's just, I see so much of that, of people seeking that, and I see people offering services for it, and I'm just like, I don't think this is how one should pursue severing their cords. Ultimately, it comes down to needing to learn the lesson that the connection is teaching you. And that's the whole, at least how I've looked at it, that's the whole point of that mirroring component of the connection that you might have to someone, is the other individual is showing you what you need to work on about yourself, or at least pointing out those things to you that need your attention in some type of way. And for whatever reason, I think we just kind of get lost in like the emotions of it. And then we get frustrated and we get angry, and then we don't want anything to do with this person. And this person did this to me and they did that to me. And then there's a lot of hurt feelings. But when it came to a lot of the cords with my twin soul, like a lot of them I looked at as opportunities to try to at least work through some of the stuff. Like, you know, I'm not privy to everything that's there and everything that needs to be worked on, but I've tried to look at it that way. And for me, that's been immensely helpful. Like, it's been very, very helpful. So I think for a lot of people, if they could just kind of shift their perspective a little bit and look at it as opportunities to see, okay, what is it about myself that I can learn from this connection, that I think people would feel a lot better about these cords and not feel the need to just sever and chainsaw or whatever else people are doing to try to get rid of their cords.
I am of this strong belief it's going to come back around in one form of or another. That if you need to learn the lesson, the universe is going to present you another person or the same person. Oh, yeah. So you can learn the lesson.
Right. And I've seen people complain about like, oh my gosh, I met this person, we didn't work out. I met another person that's just like the last person that I didn't work out with. And I'm just like, why is this happening? And I'm just like, well, maybe that's because there was a lesson that you didn't capture in the prior person. And when that's the case, that's typically what happens. Not to scare anyone or, you know, make you guys feel like it's just a terrible, terrible thing. But if you would shift your perspective a little bit and look at these relationships as opportunities, I think, you know, the process wouldn't be so frustrating for us.
Right, right. And that is something that, and I mean, I get it, you guys, it's hard. It's really, really hard to be like, I just want to be done with this person. You know, it's like, I'm trying to move on from this person. And it just feels like this person just comes back and continuously haunts you. And you're just like, ugh, why? Go away.
Right. Oh my gosh. It's driven me so insane. Now, I know that I'm unique in that regard. Like, I don't know how many people have 7 chakra connections to other people. I don't know how common that is. But it's been a lot to try to unpack and navigate, because that means that there is so much there in each and every single chakra that needs to be looked at and needs to be explored and needs to be pondered. So I know for me, it's kind of driven me insane. It's like kind of similar to how it's affected Allie, in that like their energy is like just there all the time and you can't get away from it ever. And there's literally nothing you can really do, especially when you guys are not in contact.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's just, yeah. It's, yeah.
If you're not in contact with that person, you're just like, what do I do?
Right. It's like, what do you do? Like, and I honestly don't know, and Allie, you alluded to this earlier, that you can resolve the cord without the other person. I don't know if that's possible.
I am of the belief that it is possible. I am of the belief that it is possible because Sorry, I'm just putting together my train of thought here. The reason why I think it is possible is if you put in the work and if you learn the lessons that you need to learn from that connection in each of the chakras, I believe that that is the way for you to sever the cords. And that is actually something that my spirit team has alluded to. Because it's not very fair that you are just corded to this person for the rest of your life, especially if you put in the work. I was just like, there has to be some type of reward if you're willing to put in the work in that connection on each of the chakras that you are actually corded to. And the reward for me needs to be you get to sever the cord.
Right. Okay, that's interesting.
Now, if the other person doesn't want to work on themselves and if the other person likes being courted to you, well, then, you know, it's just, I don't think, how is that fair for the person who was able to extract the lessons and move on from the connection? Like, how is that fair that the person who doesn't want to work on themselves or likes being courted to you just decides like, hey, I want to stay courted to this person. And if it means I don't have to work on myself or extract the lesson to stay courted to this person, well, then that's easy. I'm going to do it.
Right. Right. I don't know. I don't know how that's fair. I don't know if it's fair. I don't know.
But that is actually something that my spirit team has alluded me to is like, hey, if you extract the lessons, then the cords should just sever on their own from you.
Okay.
But it still requires a lot of work. That's the only thing. It's just people want the cords cut and not extract the lesson or, you know, work on themselves or even figure out why the cords are there. I mean, yeah, that's what most people are just like, I don't want these cords, cut them, like, let's get rid of them and then not do any of the work.
Right. Because we all like to take the fastest, easy way, because that's in our nature somehow.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok which really, really deeply resonated with me, where I think it was Mel Robbins, I think it was Mel Robbins who was just talking about how humans are actually wired to take the easy route. Like, they want easy. Like, if there's an easy option, humans will 1,000% take it every time.
That is so interesting. I wonder where that comes from. I remember you mentioning that, and I was just like, what is the evolutionary, this is like a whole other rabbit hole, what is the evolutionary benefit of taking the easy way all the time? Like, I personally don't know. Like, I don't know. It's just interesting that that's just something that we all carry at some part of our, in some part of our psyche, that we should always seek the easy way. I don't know if it's programming. I don't know if it's just something that comes from our primitive minds. It's just a very interesting concept.
I don't know. But I mean, that's something that, like, I have really had to kick Tiara's perspective on. And like, I trigger Tiara almost every day, you guys. And so one of the things that I was triggering with her, I was just like, stop. Like, when she was pushing back about like what was comfortable, and I was like, yeah, the reason why it's comfortable is because it's easy. And as long as it stays easy, like, you're not gonna want to push any further. And you're like, exactly. And I was just like, stop saying that like you're so proud of it. Like, when Tiara talks about her ego sometimes, she brings so much pride. And I was just like, I don't think that that's, I think you're missing the point, because I hear the pride in her voice. And I'm just like, oh, God, project.
Yeah.
You're a project.
I am a project. I think there are a lot of projects out here these days.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying that, yeah, even like Tiara was just like, and she even said it so like we've been trying to plan something for our birthday this year because it's a milestone. And, you know, we were kind of just talking about different ideas. And, you know, there was one that we were really highly considering. And she was just like, well, I think we should do that because it's easy. And I was just like, there it is again. Like, just because it's easy, she thinks that that's why we should do it. And I'm just like, just because it's easy doesn't mean that it's the right choice.
That's true. That's true. We were looking at bookings for the Tomorrowland event, a Tomorrowland built event in South America. And I've never done a big festival before.
I have.
So Ellie has. I haven't. So when I was looking at the ways to book, they have ways where you can book like a hotel and get the tickets and have your travel all taken care of in like one booking. And I was just like, well, that seems easy. Especially for, you know, someone who's never done this before. I was like, yeah, I mean, if I had the means to do it, I'd probably do it that way.
Right. It's
at least for a first experience.
Right, it's just obviously more expensive to do it that way versus doing it ourselves. And I was just like, yeah, it's just interesting because it's just an example of really like how highlighting humans like to take the easy route. It doesn't mean that it's better. It doesn't mean that it's right. It's just if it's easy, mm-hmm. they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I find it really interesting that all these people who are aware of cords and know cords are there, and, you know, their solution is just like, okay, I'm just going to hire someone to cut it, or I'm just going to visualize the cord and cut it myself. And I'm just like, if it were that easy, everyone would do it.
Oh, I know. I know. If it were that easy, cord cutters would make a killing.
Right, right. Because it's not that easy. And I understand why people want easy. I mean, obviously, it's easy. You know, it doesn't require much effort. It doesn't require you to really work on yourself. It doesn't require any like mental strain or uncomfortableness or distress mm-hmm. into your life, because who wants that? Who wants their life rattled with needing to figure something out or needing to problem solve or needing to, you know, navigate the shadowy aspects of ourselves to figure out like, why are these cords here? Or why is this person in my life? And what lesson do I need to learn? And people don't think that. People just think that, you know, that person is there to bring me happiness and the relationship should be easy. And, you know, people want just smooth sailing. People don't want to be in a relationship where they argue with the other person. People don't want to be in people want easy relationships.
You know, I don't know that there's any such thing as an easy relationship. Like, they all require work. They all require efforts and consistency and communication and authenticity. Like, I don't know if there's any way around that.
I would say that there isn't. I'm just saying. But that's why so many relationships aren't going so well. And that's why that's why people aren't dating. It's because no one really knows how to speak authentically, and we try to go into these roles and, like, you know, we look for the wounded aspects of ourselves and we trauma bond with people, and then we have people who have this savior complex of I'm gonna save you, or I'm gonna fix you, or I'm a or you're a project, or, you know, I have low self-esteem, so let me take you on as this project so I can fix you to make myself feel better. Yeah. And there's all these different dynamics in these trauma bond relationships. And unfortunately, because we've lost the sense of connection and we've lost the sense of self just through technology, and it's just, I understand why dating is such a mess out there, but now we have this added layer of like, if you really do connect with someone, and now all these energetic cords are being formed, and now there's this whole other layer of lessons and chakras and cords, and like it makes you look at relationships in a completely different way. I know for me, I definitely see relationships in a totally different manner now that I know that when these people come into your lives and energetic cords are going to form at certain chakras and there's certain lessons you need to learn, it's probably going to make me a lot more selective moving forward. Not that I'm not selective, it's just, or picky. I really am. It's just, I'm going to probably view relationships completely in a different manner now.
Yeah. Absolutely. And after witnessing that dynamic that I know you're dealing with, I think I probably will too. Just view relationships a little bit differently, be a little bit more selective.
Oh yeah. I mean, Tiara's got a ton of things going on with a few different men with a bunch of different cords. So
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm just fortunate that I'm dealing with one person right now. Tiara's got like three. So
right. And nothing makes sense either. I'm just like, I don't know what to do with you. I don't know what to do with you. I don't know what to do with you. I don't even talk to you.
Yeah, it's difficult to navigate, but I do want to highlight like that relationships are just more than, you know, you meet someone, you go out on a date, and if it goes well, then you start dating, and then you just sees where it goes, because there's this whole other spiritual side of relationships where now spiritual, you know, energetic cords are forming, and now there's lessons that need to be learned, and there's reason why those cords are there. And some lessons are very beautiful, and some lessons make you have to look at yourself. It's not all rainbows and roses and sunshine.
It is not. It is not all rainbows and butterflies and fluff.
So thank you guys for listening in on this. I hope you guys learned something. And yeah, if you are in contact with, you know, if you're just in the dating phase, or if you are in contact, or if you've been with someone for a while, and if you have like access to that person, and if you're feeling something like, hey, I wonder if that person's actually thinking about me, I'm thinking about this person, just shoot them a message. It'd be really, really curious to know like how, you know, telepathy and like, you know, that kind of stuff works, where it's just, hey, you came across my mind, or hey, I dreamed about you. Did you by chance dream about me? I think you would be pleasantly surprised the way that I have been.
Yes. And if you have anything to share around that and want to share, please do send us an email. You can find our email addresses on the website. We're always looking for feedback. We're always looking for any thoughts you guys might have about any of our episodes, or even if you've experienced something similar. So always, always welcome feedback. And we would really love to hear from you guys.
Absolutely. So thank you, everyone. And I hope you guys have a great week.
All right. Take care, you guys.